We have a report to share with you from annual conference. We had annual conference earlier this year in June 13th through the 15th. So we would like to share a report from that at this time.
Annual conference comprises many different components, including not only legislative and reporting sessions, but also worship and Bible study. Time constraints prevent our reporting on everything that happened at this year's annual conference, but Pastor Shandi and I would like to highlight a few things for you. One of the high points of worship at annual conference is the ordination service. And this year, one of the largest and most diverse classes in recent years was presented as the New England Conference welcomed 24 new clergy, ordaining 13 elders and commissioning 9 provisional elders and 2 provisional deacons. This celebratory event gave hope for our future. Even as we, the day before, had accepted recommendations for the closure of 8 churches, and had heard a statistical report revealing that all 9 of our current districts had reported an overall decline in worship attendance for the previous year. However, every district also had some churches reporting an increase in attendance, and both our own Central Massachusetts district as well as the Metro Boston Hope district were leading the way with 40% of churches in those districts reporting increased attendance in the previous year. Nevertheless, in view of rising administrative costs and in recognition of demographic factors, the annual conference approved a resolution presented by the Conference Council on Finance and Administration to reduce the number of districts in our conference from 9 to 7. By discipline, this process of realigning the districts occurs in stages. Once the annual conference has approved the number of districts, the bishop will now create the boundaries and appoint the superintendents, and the cabinet, trustees, personnel committee, and the conference finance administration will oversee the staffing and the district office sites. It is expected that the new configuration of districts will be in place by July of next year. The overall theme of annual conference was Vital Conversations, Justice. And this theme permeated legislative sessions, worship, and Bible study. Our Thursday evening session was dedicated to celebrating some of the ways we work for justice through our missions. A highlight of that evening, with direct implications for our congregation, is that Justice for Our Neighbors, or JFON, announced an intention to open a JFON clinic here in Worcester, which will focus on removal defense for low-income immigrants residing in Worcester County. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the work of JFON, the national network, established in 1999 by the United Methodist Committee on Relief, provides free or low-cost immigration legal services to low-income immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers. Our conference has received a $30,000 grant from the National JFON, which almost matches the $33,000 raised for JFON by local congregations, and that money has been designated to be used as seed money for the Worcester Clinic and will help to pay a portion of the salary and benefits for the attorney who will staff the clinic. Simple Church will be the coordinating church for the Worcester Clinic, but other Worcester area Methodist churches, including Wesley, will be needed to provide additional support and volunteers. In the coming months, you can expect to hear more about this exciting opportunity.
One of the main agenda items for this year's annual conference was the election of conference delegates to represent our New England conference at the 2020 General Conference. Every 4 years, our denomination gathers as a general conference to do the business of the general church. So our regularly scheduled quadrennial general conference will be in 2020. And in the mind of many will be questions about how to move forward as United Methodists in light of the decision that came at the special session of General Conference held this year in February. If you are not familiar with this, the special called session of General Conference in February was meeting to discuss and discern a way forward for our denomination regarding a matter that has affected and impacted our denomination for years, and that is the matter of the inclusion of people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and queer. The decision of the 2019 special session of General Conference reinforced policies that prohibit the ordination of clergy who identify as LGBTQ and that prohibit clergy from officiating same-sex marriages, and thus strengthening policies for enforcing such church, this church law. Our conference as a body has always disagreed with these policies. So this year, our conference reaffirmed a statement that we made a few years ago after the last General Conference, our statement of non-conformity, which says that we as an annual conference will, quote, will not conform or comply with provisions of the discipline which discriminate against LGBTQIA persons. Our conference also voted to establish a task force of clergy and laity to, quote, examine whether and how United Methodists of New England might align with, create, or form a new church body in the Methodist tradition independently or in collaboration with other conferences. The Open Spirit Task Force will, as it is called, will explore the options emerging across the denomination about how United Methodists are responding to the decision of the 2019 special session of General Conference, and to discern what the New England Conference response will be. And some of you may know that that there are individuals, churches, and conferences that are finding it difficult to remain a part of the United Methodist Church in light of the decision that came at the special called conference of 2019. I was invited and accepted to serve on this Open Spirit Task Force of 30 people discerning for the movement of the Spirit in this liminal time for our denomination. I invite you to hold the task force and the whole church in prayer as we seek for God's direction in our life together.
In his State of the Conference report, our departing district superintendent, Renee Perez, on behalf of all the district superintendents, issued the following challenge, and I will quote, "Let us take on the political and religious systems that continue to perpetuate all kinds of inherent discrimination and racial privilege, but together, let us also join the Holy Spirit in creating a world that is just for all, unbiased and more ethically prepared, where people of all nations, places, genders, theological leanings, languages, cultures, ages, and abilities can feel and have peace, hope, and love." End quote. As ongoing events demonstrate, our country and our world are more in need of the peace, hope, and love of which Renee spoke than ever. I believe that our congregation can be a microcosm in which the goal is lived out. We certainly are diverse pretty much in all the ways that Renee mentioned. And I believe in view of what is happening in our denomination and in our conference, we as a congregation also need to have some honest conversations about difficult but vital topics. In the spring, several of us attended a district event involving conversations about racism. I believe we need to continue that conversation in our congregation, as well as initiate conversations related to various aspects of human sexuality. While we still need to figure out how best to provide opportunity for such conversations, I urge each of you to become engaged. Each and every voice matters. There is no other way for us to be a place where all feel welcomed, loved, accepted, valued, and affirmed for who they are.
That concludes our report from annual conference. If you have any questions, you may see myself or Debbie O'Driscoll, the lay leader, and we represented you at this year's annual conference. If you would like some reports from the annual conference, you can go online to our conference website at neumc.org.